CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, April 26th on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
All right. Emergency edition of the Coast to Coast podcast. If you want to try me for recruiting news, I got you. Hey, America, Hubert Davis is getting some recruiting payback and showing everyone he's the boss in this man's world. It's a new day as the UNC coach has come unchained, put on his recruiting hot pants, and has his funk on a roll. There was a time last week when the Cadeau commitment was super bad, but I got the feeling y'all are going to like this. Please, 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 let's get Sherrill McMillan and Sean Moran in before it's too funky in here because James Brown has committed to the Tar Heels. All right, emergency edition of the Coast to Coast podcast brought to you by Johnny T-Shirt. Sherrill McMillan, Sean Moran are here. Boys, we do these when there's big things happening around the program. We just did one last week where Christmas came late for Hubert Davis. Well, we've got another one to talk about. 6'9", 210-pound, listed as a five or a center, James Brown from St. Rita in Chicago, Illinois. He's a four-star kid. He's the number 27-rated player overall. In the 27 sports rankings currently, and is listed as the sixth best center. Picked UNC over offers from Illinois, Michigan State, Notre Dame, and some others. Sherrill, how did this go down?
I'm still recovering from your intro. That was impressive. I'm kind of caught off guard. I'm lost for words because it was so good.
Well, I had to get them all out there. It was either going to be a slow drip for the next right. 6 months, or just go ahead and just get it all out of my system.
Right. I like that. I like that better. UNC started recruiting James really, I would say, in June. He had some really big performances at Pangos out west. He played really well in a couple of EYBL stops. He's with Mean Streets this year. They're 16 and under team. And before that, he was with Mac Urban Fire. So the two named Chicago teams, he's played for both of them. And as June progressed, he played well. He played really well at MBPA top 100 camp down in Orlando. We were down there, we watched him, and he was just really solid, really steady. And that's when Hubert Davis, I believe, really put his first eyes on him, and he got an offer. It might have been while we were there or the next night. From there, of course, they watched him in Kansas City, they watched him at the Peach Jam, and kind of as time went on, you realize that he was the only kind of four or five type big that they were recruiting in the class, and it showed just how much of a priority it was for them. So from there, he took official visits. He took five in the fall. He went to Missouri, Michigan State, UNC, Notre Dame, and Illinois. So UNC, the only kind of non-Midwest school in there. And he visited UNC in mid-October. So he had Notre Dame and Illinois after UNC. And once he came back from Illinois, he said he was going to kind of revisit everything, kind of talk about stuff with his family. They are a very detail-oriented family, so there are a lot of details to sort through. And here we are just as the new year came in, and they decided to commit to UNC. And a big reason for it, you can kind of read it on the site in his own words, similar to Drake Powell. He did something with us where he kind of explained why he chose UNC, but what he kept coming back to was that UNC was bigger than basketball. And I think we can get into it, but just the way Hubert Davis coaches his players in the way that UNC gets along with each other and the family concept. He really bought into that and really liked it.
Sherrill, I'm going to go ahead and say you need to trademark that because that is a marketing slogan if I've ever heard one. Bigger than basketball. I think that might stick around. It might be something we hear in the future. Sean, tell us a little bit about what UNC is getting in a player like James Brown. There's plenty of film out there of him. St. Rita is one of the bigger programs up in the Chicago area. Tell everybody what UNC is getting in this player.
Yeah,
a very, very talented big man. He was really the first big man in the class of 2024 that UNC offered. I mean, you know, you can go back to the late spring, early summer, where we had a lot of podcasts talking about who else will they be looking at. Really, the class started off with two offers, and then there was a lull until June. James Brown got the offer end of June, but you have a guy that kind of falls in that sweet spot that we talk about a lot of the time, where he doesn't, at least as of now, doesn't project as a one and done player, but he is ranked in that, you know, 25 to 40 sweet spot where UNC has had long term success previously. And in terms of how he projects, I think he can be a multi-year starter at the college level. Obviously played at a high level, 16 and under on the Nike EYBL circuit with Mean Streets, as Sherelle mentioned, and then St. Rita's in Chicago as well. But you've got a guy, he can run the floor pretty well, pretty lengthy. He definitely needs to add some weight. I think that's probably a, you know, familiar saying when you're talking about UNC recruits, as well as UNC bigs, but he's got, offensively, I'd say a little bit of an unorthodox game. He can step out about 12, 15 feet. He's comfortable, shooting, right-handed jump shooter, but pretty much anything in the paint for the most part is coming with his left hand. Has a good touch, active around the basket, aggressive rebounding the ball. He can also likes to probably won't see it in Chapel Hill, but you'll probably see it in some of the highlights of him pushing the ball up the court. Good passer for his size, and once again, kind of almost an old school big where he can operate down low, but he can stretch it, and I would imagine that will that range will just continue to expand over the years. But in terms of improvement areas throughout his junior season and into his senior season, just continuing to get stronger, work on, you know, not the most explosive off of 2 feet, but just given his aggressiveness and his length, you know, it does help him finish and attack the glass offensively.
I love that we've been doing these so long. You know what my next questions are going to be. I was going to ask you, you know, what are some things that he could work on? I think you're spot on, especially when you point out a lot of these high school or prep bigs when they're coming into college, they need to put on weight. And we're talking about a kid that's 6'9", 210. When you see him, he's not as, you know, waifish thin as you've seen other players, but yeah, I agree with you. He definitely has some room to put things on. What do you think
that was actually, when I got to see him in July, he was bigger than I expected, and definitely, mm-hmm. A little more, you know, kind of a narrow frame, but definitely, I'd say more physically imposing than I expected, having just seen video coming in, and thought he was going to be, you know, really, really skinny, but he had definitely some definition to him. So that was one thing that I was surprised about when seeing him in early July.
I feel like there's going to be some parallels between he and Sean May. I mean, obviously Sean was a little bigger through the shoulders coming in than James Brown will be, but do you think there's some potential there for Sean May to work on him? Cause I feel like from what I've seen of James Brown, the kid's got some pretty strong hands.
Yeah. I mean, I think it'll be tough to challenge the hands that Sean May exhibited when he was at school, but I think, you know, definitely, you know, some stuff to work with, and really, you know, from Hubert's recruiting and Sean May's recruiting, you know, first Jalen Washington from Gary, Indiana, playing on Mean Streets, and now James Brown. So, you know, different skill set than Washington, but yeah, definitely stuff to work with. And as I said, already, you know, has a very good base from stepping outside, once again, not really to the 3-point line, but 12, 15 feet and kind of the left-handed hook shot that he does have when he catches the ball down low. So that's already one go-to move that he's comfortable with. And, you know, if he can build out one or two more, you know, that's kind of really all you'll need. But the fact that he already has one, because so often, more times than not, you see kids coming in and they rely on their size or their athleticism, but they don't have really that go-to move.
Sherelle, when you first introduced James Brown to us, when North Carolina first started recruiting him, one of the things you mentioned was he feels like a North Carolina type of player. Usually that encompasses personality, you know, some of the things that he's some of the things that he's interested in, some of the things that he envisions for himself. Can you elaborate on that a little bit more? I mean, I think you mentioned earlier about the new marketing slogan that we're going to run with about bigger than basketball is some good insight. But can you elaborate a little bit more about what you might have learned about the kid during his recruitment?
I wanted to add, real quick before I answer that, I wanted to add what Sean was saying. He has that left-handed hook because he can basically use both hands, you know, pretty evenly, pretty equally, I would say. John Henson probably was the last Carolina player who was that comfortable, I think. But what, John Henson and Nate Britt. John Henson being the last post player who was that comfortable with his left or his right hand as far as a jump hook, as far as shooting and just utilizing both hands a ton. So I think that's something he's got going for him, especially down the post. It can help him be a little more crafty. So just an addition there. As far as the cultural fit, yeah, I mean, it's clear from the first time you talk to him that the values in which Hubert Davis, you know, ascribes to build the program, Brown and his family share those. And I think in talking with them and learning about them, you kind of hear them echoing some of Hubert Davis's favorite sayings without even realizing it, you know, being intentional, you know, a hunger and a thirst for things, passion, you know, just the ability to serve. The Browns are big on that. How much they love academics, all those things, I think, played into one of the reasons that the Brown family was so attracted to UNC and the coaching staff. I mean, I can't tell you how many times in talking to, you know, him and his folks that they would bring up, oh, man, all four coaches, you know, played at UNC for either Coach Smith or Coach Williams or Coach Guthridge. And they were just in awe of that. They couldn't believe that people would love a place that much that not only would they go to school there, but want to come back and work there. So when you start adding all that up, I think you get to a point where maybe there might be more talented players who aren't a cultural fit, but UNC will take the player who might be lower rated, but more of a cultural fit. And I think you see that with Brown, not saying that he can't play or anything, but it's not often that you get someone who can play and is kind of a perfect match for all the things that your program is built on.
Well, I mean, going as far back as anybody listening or watching this podcast can remember, there's always been a certain element of fit that, you know, that comes with the best or most successful players at the UNC program. All right, Sherelle, we mentioned on the Coast to Coast regular edition just a short time ago that we were going to start hopefully seeing what this class is going to look like, right? Well, now you have commitments from Drake Powell. You have commitments from Elliott Cadeau. And with James Brown, you've got three really skilled, really different skill sets, really different types of players coming in with the 24 class. Sherelle, what do you think happens next? I mean, we're still looking at some guys with some offers out there. You like to call them committable offers or real offers. I can't remember what your actual term is, but you have a word for it. Maybe the list within the list is a good one. But who do you think, you know, are the last two that kind of the focus is going to zoom in on a little bit?
Yeah, perhaps that Coast to Coast was a little wink to our subscribers. Yeah, I would say the active offers is the word we try to use. Of those, I think Jaren Stevenson is still kind of the fit, the perfect guy next. If you start looking at the roster, and again, it's hard to look even at next year versus 2 years down the road. Mm-hmm. But you know, Zayden High is going to be able to play some 4-5, I think, for UNC. Probably more of a true four. But there's really no one else on the roster who I would consider a true four who can also kind of step out on the perimeter and switch screens and you would feel comfortable, you know, having on a guard for a few seconds in a defensive possession. So I think that's why Stevenson is someone that they'll continue to recruit. It seems like they have a lot of numbers there, but you start parsing it out. And, you know, Jalen Washington is more of a stretch five, I think. So he'll be there. I think Brown, again, is kind of a more of a 5-4 really than a 4-5. So he'll be there. And then you have High as kind of that true four. And then you look to, you know, finish out your front court rotation with another four. And that would be Stevenson. So you have a pretty balanced depth chart in that scenario. So I think he fits perfectly. And that's kind of the top target remaining. Now, there are others who have active offers who are still going to come on visits, but I'd be surprised if anyone other than Stevenson rounds out the class.
What's up, y'all? This is four-time NBA champ Andre Iguodala.
Yo, and this is his best friend, the Ohio State legend, Evan Marcel Turner I.
Every Wednesday, we drop a new episode on our show, Point Four.
We're talking basketball, business, and all the culture in between.
From locker room stories to some basketball analysis from those who've been in the game.
Now, it is a dude averaging 29 and 11. God, what did it take to be an all-star?
A win. Subscribe to Point Forward, the podcast, so you don't miss a thing.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
All right, Sean. Well, last question is going to come to you in this emergency edition of the Coast to Coast podcast brought to you by Johnny T-Shirt. Sean, what is missing with this class? Sherelle just talked about Stevenson. I want you to look at this purely from a skill standpoint. What is missing to round out this class of assuming it's going to be four players, you know, like Sherelle just said? What are the specific skills they need to go after?
Well, first, pretty impressive that they've got three commits, you know, even before really as we start 2023 and well before AAU season begins. You know, tough to kind of predict how, you know, especially Hebert's first class, how they're going to be looking in a year or two. But I think it goes back to what we were touching on for the Coast to Coast. And, you know, there's a lot of guards that can handle the ball. There's a lot of versatile bigs. Drake Powell is going to be that wing player, kind of still on the upward trajectory. But, you know, would love to see a guy in the mold of a Wayne Ellington kind of comes to mind. But somebody that can really just score the basketball, and that maybe he is that one and done type player, or you know, somebody that Ian Jackson, for instance, I know a long shot, but somebody that you know, the 2-3 position that has a knack for scoring, as well, you know, and another versatile defender. So that would be you know, what I would love to see, but I do agree with Sherelle in terms of who they're looking at, and the ideal fit could be that 4-3. But in terms of the team in general, I think, you know, a 6-4, 6-5, two guard to go along with Drake and some of the other, you know, Tyler Nickel and Puff, whoever else is on the floor, I think that's one thing that they could still look at.
All right, boys. Well, hopefully that'll put a bow on this edition, emergency edition of the Coast to Coast podcast. Anything else you guys want to add about James Brown committing to Hubert Davis and the staff?
Just one quick thing, you know, defensively, was impressed with how he was able to switch on, you know, switch screens or recover in pick and roll. Was a good shot blocker in space. I know so much of the time we always focus on offensive skill set, just because it's easier to kind of just describe and talk about. But defensively, you know, that it'll be interesting to see how he can pair with Washington and some of the other bigs. And then just going back offensively, I was just going back through some of my Kansas City notes, and all the games I saw him running the floor really, really stuck out. So, you know, between Cadeau and him, maybe it's a little Marshall Zeller pairing in terms of running the court and getting the ball down pretty quick.
Yeah, awesome. Good addition to our analysis today. Sherelle, anything else you want to throw in?
Yeah, I was just going to say, like Sean, you know, kind of a shout out to assistant coach Sean May. Only been on the job for as an assistant coach on the bench for, I think, 18 months, 19 months. And, you know, basically pulled two kids from the Chicago area that the last week I remember from the Chicago area for UNC was Bobby Frazier. And that was the class of 2005. Mm-hmm. So it's been quite some time before this, but he's gone in there and gotten two really good, solid players. And I think to Sean's point, they are both in that sweet spot where they're it's going to sound strange. They're just not good enough or just not great enough, but really good enough to where they're like straddling that line between, can they go pro after, you know, 2 years, or do they need to stay in college for a couple of years? And that's kind of where UNC has done really well with guys who project to be kind of 2 or 3 year guys. So I think it looks good for North Carolina in the future. You've got Drake Powell, who's an ascending player. You've got Kadeau as kind of the elite kind of, star of the class. And then you have someone like James Brown, who's just very solid and will do whatever needs to be done and become whatever the team needs him to become, whether that's 100% bat to the basket five or, kind of a hybrid four who does some things out on the perimeter, whatever they need him to do, he'll do. And that kind of versatility is key, and that kind of buy-in too, which he already has with UNC. That buy-in this early will be big for kind of the culture that I think Hubert Davis is trying to establish.
Yeah, I mean, NBA potential doesn't mean it has to be like overnight NBA potential or NBA immediate potential. So I think the fans are going to enjoy watching James Brown, again, like I say on these podcasts, go out, get some, see some video on YouTube of the kid, and you'll understand. Sean will have a nice breakdown coming very soon about some of the video of his game. Sherrill will have a really good write-up coming with this podcast, a little bit about the story and some more information. So as always, we hope that you've appreciated this podcast. If there's more information you're looking for, Inside Carolina will cover it for you. But for now, let's get up off of that thing. I am Joey Powell, Sherrill McMillan, Sean Moran, emergency edition of the Coast to Coast podcast. James Brown committing to Hubert Davis and the Tar Heels. Their third commitment in the 2024 class. Shout out to John Siegley for producing and to Johnny T-Shirt for sponsoring. Until next time, we'll catch you guys down the road.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.